This is an extraordinary time that we have together today. And the two primary focuses of this worship are the consecration of this space and the ordination of Rebecca to the priesthood. And it's possible, as we celebrate in that way, that we miss item number one on God's list, and that's the proclamation of the gospel for those who have not yet heard it and have not yet been saved. And we err in assuming that any gathering, even a gathering for the consecration of a priest, contains only believers. And in fact, I would say more than that, many of our own hearts, mine included, sometimes fail in faith. And though I am redeemed and being sanctified and assured of my destiny, nevertheless, there are times when I falter and fall short, and I need to be reminded of what the gospel is about. John 3:16. We most of us know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everybody who knows this, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Now, we've had that good news shared with us in a thousand ways. We hear the story of the fall of Adam and Eve and how we've all inherited sin from it. And though I believe that's true, it's hard for me to own that. Adam and Eve, a long time ago, did something and therefore I'm condemned. What did I do? Somehow I don't connect with that very well, though I believe that. As I was thinking about this, I remembered a town where we lived some years ago. There was an Episcopal church there, I won't say it by name, which some 100 years ago, as a part of its mission, built a church on the very property, built a hospital on the very property where the church was located. We hoped to do something like that ourselves with the property which we are acquiring, to put in a free clinic to serve the community in which we've been placed. And this hospital grew to be a center of healing for that community and became well known, well regarded. It grew and grew and grew. And some 20 years ago, thereabouts, the parish in one of its vestry meetings said, you know, we have maintained authority over this church, over this hospital, for many, many years. Why don't we now set them free? Rather than have the church govern the hospital, let's establish a board of directors for the hospital which can govern it on their own. And we'll bring all of the best people in to be on this board of directors, and we will set them free to do the ministry that we have given them to do. And so that was approved. And a board of directors was established, and the church was set free. One of the first decisions that that new board of directors made was to request that the city condemn the property on which the church sat so that the hospital could expand onto that land. Is this extraordinary? This is not just a history tale. This is us and God. The one who made us set us free, gave us free will, the ability to make whatever decisions we chose. He didn't keep us as robots, programmed as he would have us behave. He set us free. And what did we do? We turned around and condemned him. We said, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. In fact, it's the very first sin. It's the sin of Lucifer. And if you look at Adam and Eve, it's the sin of Adam and Eve. They turned away. We don't want to be ruled by you. We want to be like you. And every one of us has done this in our own way, in our own heart. What is so extraordinary about the God who loves us is rather than grow bitter and angry toward those that had turned away, he instead said, I've never desired anything more than loving relationship with you. And though you have sinned against heaven and against me, I desire that we be restored. And I desire this so much that I will send one of us, three of us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who have been in eternal loving relationship. One of them gave up his position in heaven to be born in human flesh, to be one of us, in order to say, though you have been separated by your own willfulness from the one who made you and still loves you, and though you have sin which separates you and which deserves judgment from a holy and pure God, I will stand in your place. And the sin which is yours, I will take upon myself in order that you can be restored. And all you need to do is take this free gift from me, and that loving relationship is restored. That's the good news. News can't get better than that. The God who made us and who we walked away from, every last one of us, has sent his Son to restore that relationship. But ask everyone in this place right now to just close your eyes. And if you, and I speak this to myself as well as I speak it to all of those sitting here, have faltered in faith or have never come to that point of faith of having accepted that free gift of grace, grace unmerited, undeserved favor from God, have never had that moment or need really to say it again to the one who loves you, take this moment right now in your heart to say, Father, I accept your forgiveness. I thank you for Jesus and the price that he has paid for me. I accept that gift. Restore me. And if you said those words in your heart, you are restored and you are his for all eternity. Amen. I hope there isn't a soul in this room that has not at some time or this morning prayed that prayer. Because now I want to talk about what we are called to as believers. We've been redeemed. And now the Lord has a request for us. And that is that the good news which drew us to him and restored, he wants it spread. He wants others to hear it. The title of this sermon is You Are Called, and it's not about Rebecca. It's about you, every last person in this room. The catechism in the prayer book has this extraordinary statement. It says, who are the ministers of the church? And the answer is, the ministers are lay people, bishops, priests, and deacons. Lay people is listed first. It's brilliant. It's exactly right. It says in Scripture that the believers are the priesthood. And in fact, those who you see ordained here and about to be ordained as priests, it's a different word in Greek. The word that's used for what I do, what Rebecca is being ordained to do, what these you see here sitting to the side do, is we are called to be teachers and equippers of the priests. We are not actually the priests of God. We are presbyters. The word priest applied to me, shortly to be applied to Rebecca, is a contraction of the word presbyter, which means simply elder. And the idea is that the elders in the church who have been trained, in their turn, train the whole church, the whole priesthood. Scripture talks about Jesus as the great high priest. The word there used for priest is hieros. And when Scripture talks about the priesthood of all believers, meaning us, it's the same word, hieros in Greek. When it refers to me, it's presbyteros. Different word. So it's confusing in English, but the message is very simple. Those that we call priests, who are presbyters, are elders in the church. Their role is to train the priests of the church. And the priests of the church are the believers. And then all of us together, are brought to Matthew 28, when Jesus says, "Now go into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And know this, that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." That's us, all of us. I'm included because I'm a member of the priesthood of all believers, not because I'm a presbyter. I'm included because I'm one of you. And the call on us is to go and make disciples. And this is my final point. The word disciple comes from a Greek word which at its very, 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 very root means to learn by use and practice. To learn by use and practice. That's what it means to be a disciple. It's what it means to make disciples. You are not hiring Rebecca to do evangelism for you. You are not hiring Rebecca, ordaining her to share the gospel on your behalf. You are ordaining her to equip you, to lead you. You know, her, she's in the neighborhoods instantly, but never alone. She'll take you with her. It's not her job alone to do that. It's all of our job. Well, I'm scared. I've never done this. I don't know how. I'm not Billy Graham. How do I share the good news? How do I share the gospel? How did you ride a bicycle the first time? You got up and somebody pushed it, so it would have a little gyroscopic effect and keep you balanced for a little while, and then you fell over flat on your face. Right? That's what I did. Becoming a disciple is the same thing. You do not become Billy Graham the first time you go into a neighborhood to share the good news. You stumble and stutter and don't quite know what to say and feel embarrassed and unsure of yourself. But you learn, as I learned, by use and practice. That is what it is to be a disciple. And it is what happens when we make disciples. It's one of the reasons this church is so easy when we mess up. Because we know we fall off our bikes all the time. Oh, heck, I still fall off my bicycle. So as Rebecca is ordained today, remember that the call on her is not to share the good news by herself or on your behalf. You are called to share the good news. Every last one, you are called to share the good news. Oh, Rebecca will do it too. You can't stop her. But you are ordaining her to help equip you to be able to do that. That's one of the reasons why she needs to be supported in her ministry. It's a tough job, herding cats. Pastoring a flock is a tough job, and the pastors need the support of those that they look after. But the call here, the true call, is on the believers. Rebecca's call is to be a teacher and an equipper and an evangelist, not instead of you, but teaching all of us how to do it together. So may our commitment today be two-pointed. First, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is in my heart forever. Amen. Amen. And secondly, He Himself has asked me, and that's true of each of us, to go into the world and share the same good news that saved me, and He promised to be with us every step of the way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.